Match day three served up another action-packed week in the UEFA Champions League. Ronaldo and Pogba met their former teams in one of the ties of the week on Tuesday night at Old Trafford. And then Wednesday evening brought its own theatrics. At the Camp Nou, Barcelona edged out Inter. It was a delicately balanced encounter for long periods, though.
To settle it, and settle it Jordi Alba has done, and with unerring composure slotted a left-foot shot beyond Handanovic into the bottom corner of the net.
In Germany, Dortmund made it three wins out of three as they thrashed one of Europe's finest in Atletico.
Here we go again, and Dortmund are in again, and they've got another! Guerrero! Borussia Dortmund lead Atletico Madrid by 4-0.
Meanwhile, in the early featured match on Matchday Live, 10 men Spurs conceded late on to PSV. They can only feel that they threw away the 3 points.
De Jong flicks it on and scores! PSV are back in the game with 3 minutes of normal time left. It's 2-2.
Elsewhere, there were victories for Liverpool and Porto. We will bring you the key analysis and reaction to Wednesday night's matches. So stay with us here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show with me, Chris Parrott, and the European football expert Andy Brassels alongside me. One place to start: Barcelona, without Lionel Messi, against in-form Inter, mightily impressive.
Yeah, they really were. And we know there are more strings to Barcelona's bow than Lionel Messi, but still, this was something special. And I thought what was something special was in the way the younger players stepped up. I thought Clément Lenglet was terrific, partnering Gerard Piqué at centre-back. Arthur was absolutely purring in midfield. And, of course, Rafinha, who had that loan at Inter last season, played a part in them qualifying for the Champions League, so they're able to be here in the first place, scoring the opening goal, looking a bit sheepish and apologetic, but he shouldn't have done because he put in an absolutely terrific performance.
Sheepish is an excellent adjective for how he was. Loads to get through. Here are all the scores from match day three. On Tuesday, in Group E, Ajax 0, Bayern 2, Ajax 1, Benfica 0. Group F, Shakhtar 0, Manchester City 3, Hoffenheim 3, Lyon 3. What a game in Germany. Group G, Real Madrid 2, Victoria Pilsen 1, and Roma 3, CSKA Moskva 0. In Group H, United 0, Juventus 1. And Young Boys 1, Valencia 1. There is a separate podcast for Tuesday. We're concentrating on Wednesday's action. Group A, Club Brugge 1, Monaco 1. Dortmund 4, Atletico 0. Group B, PSV 2, Tottenham 2. Barcelona 2, Inter 0. Group C, Liverpool 4, Sveta Zvezda 0. And Paris Saint-Germain 2, Napoli 2. And in Group D, Galatasaray 0, Schalke 0. And Lokomotiv Moskva 1, Porto 3. Let's focus, though, on Camp Nou first, where Barcelona welcomed Inter, and Steve Wyeth watched this one for us.
Rafinha bursting through the middle for Barcelona. Here's Luis Suarez, 20 metres out from goal, clipping it into the penalty area towards Rafinha, who gives Barcelona the lead with a sublime left-foot finish. Judged his run and the contact with the ball to perfection, and from close range, nothing Handanovic could do. And with 32 minutes played, it's Barcelona 1-0. Rakitic, forward for Jordi Alba to settle it, and settle it Jordi Alba has done. Ghosted through the Inter defence, and with unerring composure slotted a left foot shot beyond Handanovic into the bottom corner of the net, and it is Barcelona 2, Inter 0.
Steve Wyeth joins us now. Barcelona at the midway point of the group stage, thanks to this win, they're pretty much already in the last 16.
8 points better off than the teams that occupy third and fourth place, as Spurs and PSV all but through to the knockout stage yet again, the five-time European champions. And the control they had of this game over a team that had travelled with some confidence on the back of a seven-game winning run, who'd beaten their City rivals AC Milan at the weekend and felt the absence of Lionel Messi gave them an opportunity to cause something of an upset. In fact, almost to the point that it wouldn't have been an upset if Inter had won tonight. They were just brushed aside with the minimum of fuss. I think it was the control that Barcelona had over the game was the most impressive thing about it.
And had it not been for Sam here, Handanovic, Andy, it was 2-0. If it had have been 3 or 4, could Inter really have complained?
Certainly not on the balance of the first half. I thought they weren't really adventurous enough in that first half, and really they left themselves in a position where Barcelona were going to pick them off. I think if you look at some of the Handanovic saves, they were made in the second half when Inter had to throw caution to the wind a little bit, and I think they were right to do so. But they expressed themselves better in the second half. Barcelona deserved winners, I think that's fair to say. But Inter gave Barca a few things to think about.
Yeah, Coutinho hit the crossbar when it was still 1-0. The most Handanovic was stretched, actually, was by a central defender in the first half, Clément Longley. Otherwise, Luis Suarez's efforts were pretty much straight at him. But yeah, he had to be alert tonight, Handanovic, but they were pretty ruthless with the clear-cut opportunities they created, Barcelona, because Inter defensively, pretty good. But when they did break through Barcelona, they made it count.
And they kept Mauro Icardi very quiet. Let's just talk about a free kick. Not because it went in or caused a great save, but I've never seen it happen before. Talk us through it. Luis Suarez hit it, and then what happened after was a brilliant piece of improvisation.
Well, as Andy said on commentary, it's called sandbagging. We've seen it a couple of times. It was Xabi Alonso was the player who really perfected this art of hitting a free kick underneath a jumping wall and completely wrong-footing the goalkeeper. And I saw it in Italy a couple of times last season where teams would station a player lying down or crouching down behind the wall to cut out that option from those free kicks that are right on the edge of the box. So it's very difficult for the player, however good they are, to get it over the wall and down and underneath the crossbar. But Inter hadn't appeared to have stationed that player for the Luis Suarez free kick from, what, a metre or so outside of the penalty area. But almost to entice him to go for the effort under the wall, Brozovic at the last minute threw himself sliding tackle style behind the players stationed in the wall, just getting a replay, funnily enough, of it right now on the monitor. So Luis Suarez wasn't expecting a player to be there, thought he'd pulled off the trick of getting it under the wall, only to find suddenly Brozovic had appeared from nowhere. Genius piece of defending.
Hit him on the backside, and Lionel Messi in the front row of the stand with the biggest smile of the evening. He absolutely loved it.
Well, he knew his teammate had been conned.
Yeah.
And nothing gives a footballer greater pleasure than seeing one of their teammates made a bit of a fool.
Correct. And in the dressing room, I can imagine Messi will be there just having a word with Luis Suarez. But Barcelona, comfortable winners then in Group B. Elsewhere in that section, Tottenham travelled to face PSV in one of Wednesday's early games. And this one was watched for Matchday Live by Mike Sewell.
Lozano's shot goes over the head of Lloris, deflecting off Alderweireld. No chance for the goalkeeper. And out of nothing, really, PSV have taken the lead just before the half-hour mark. And Toby Alderweireld with the error. Moura's shot is deflected in, and it's an equaliser for Tottenham. Lucas with the effort on goal, and unlike the other one at the other end, it takes a deflection. But Tottenham are back on level terms. It's 1-1. Great cross. Easy header for Kane. 2-1 Tottenham. It was that easy. But it was the cross that made it. Terrific ball in from Christian Eriksen. And Harry Kane just could not miss. Lozano is in. It's been a mistake by Tottenham again. Oh, Lozano has been taken out, has he, by Lloris. Referee has given the free kick. What's going to happen here? He's going to dismiss Hugo Lloris. And Tottenham are down to 10 men. And are without their goalkeeper. De Jong's up there, Sanchez clears, Rosario shoots towards goal. De Jong flicks it on and scores! PSV are back in the game with 3 minutes of normal time left, and they'll feel now that they can win it. Unbelievable, 5 minutes ago, they were heading for defeat. It's 2-2 at the PSV Stadion. Luke De Jong with the goal.
A terrific match. After the game, Christian Eriksen, the Tottenham midfielder, was asked whether the draw felt like a defeat.
Yeah, no, it does. If you've seen the game, I think we should have finished it off myself as well. Should have finished the game off with all the shots and chances we created. But that's the Champions League football and football in general. If you don't finish it off, it makes it easy for themselves. And a few mistakes lead to their goals.
Andy, before this one, it was all about a point would be a bad result for either, given that they had 0 points. PSV get the late equaliser, they might be happy, but I mean, Tottenham will be bitterly disappointed, as you heard there, not to have won the game.
Yeah, they really will be, and especially after they battled back after conceding that first goal. It just all went wrong after that Hugo Lloris red card. I mean, I know he's a goalkeeper who likes to play off his line, and, you know, it's something that has been very, very important for Spurs since he arrived in 2012. We realise that's the way he played, but he's exercised a not great judgment, both in that and I think in the opening goal for Barcelona in the last game at Wembley. So he'll be very, very disappointed. And of course, he's going to miss the next game. And this is vital for Tottenham, because now, before they even start about thinking catching Milan, Inter, and, you know, they'll think that Barcelona can maybe do them a favour in Milan on match day 4. They need to win this game just to get themselves in at least in third place, because, you know, they want to be carrying on playing UEFA club competition after Christmas.
The way both sets of players trudged off the pitch in the Netherlands, I think, told the story.
Yes.
At the end, this is the Group B standings. Barcelona 3 wins from 3, 9 points. Inter 6 points. PSV and Tottenham 1 point apiece, which means that Barca have 1 foot and a couple of toes in the first knockout round already. Match day 4, Tuesday the 6th of November. Tottenham host PSV, and it's Inter against Barcelona at San Siro. On to Group C. What a section. What a game at the Parc des Princes. Paris Saint-Germain 2, Napoli 2. That tells half the story.
Yeah, it really does. Napoli leading twice, looking set fair to win the game until Angel Di Maria pulled something absolutely magical out of the bag with a wonderful left foot curler. We've seen him do it before in the stoppage time of the game. And, you know, Napoli will feel disappointed because, you know, they would have been in a great position to qualify had they held out this result. They're still in a good position. I don't think there's any doubt about that. After 5 points, after 3 games, everyone considered them third favourites for this group when the draw came out. But now they've really got an opportunity to do something with that incredible atmosphere at San Paolo. So they take Paris Saint-Germain back there, and Paris have given themselves a lifeline.
Yeah, what a finish from Di Maria, by the way. Mm. And if the next game between them is anywhere near as good as this one, it's going to be absolutely one to listen to on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Top of the group are Liverpool, last season's beaten finalists, impressive 4-0 winners against Sveta Zvezda. And let's hear from one of the goal scorers, Mo Salah, who celebrated a wonderful milestone at Anfield.
Yeah, I'm very proud to score my 50 goals in, I think, 67 games, something like that. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. But, you know, the most important thing, as I said before, is the team. We need to win the games. We need to fight for each game. Yeah, I'm happy about that. I hope we're going to win it. You know, if you play without ambition, without you won't reach the final and win the final, it's better to stay at home.
Who says that players don't know their own stats, by the way, Mo? It's something like my 60, but what a goal-scoring record. There's been a bit of criticism that Salah hasn't hit the heights of last season, but 2 goals taken off. One of them was a penalty. All 4 goal scorers were that front three, Firmino, Salah 2 and Mane. A very comfortable night for Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's very important, as you say, Chris, for those three to get into the scoring groove again. I mean, it's not just been Salah who's had the slow starts of the season numbers-wise. You know, the three of them have not been themselves. And, you know, it can take a little bit of a while, especially, you know, we remember how they finished last season. And that they finished it in wonderful style because they'd really got into a rhythm and they're really in full confidence. Now, what they do now, as long as Liverpool keep ticking over, is not really what counts. In the context of the Champions League, and they're a team that thinks about the latter stages of the Champions League, and quite rightly so, what they're doing in March, April and May is the important thing.
It's about when you peak, isn't it?
Yes.
And many teams who fly through the group stage then ultimately get knocked out. But Liverpool are sitting very pretty at the top of Group C on 6 points. Napoli just behind them with 5. Then come Paris Saint-Germain with 4. And Sveta Zvezda with 1 point. Match day 4. Sveta Zvezda, Liverpool in Belgrade. Napoli against Paris Saint-Germain at Stadio San Paolo. That is going to be a heck of an evening in southern Italy. Right, on to Group A. Borussia Dortmund met Atletico in Germany. Many predicted a tight game. Commentary of this one by Dan Roebuck.
Mm-hmm.
inside the penalty area, lays it back towards Witzel. Can he get the shot away? Still going. Good effort! Wrong foot, Jano Black, who could not have seen that. He was moving in the wrong direction. And the Belgian international has put Borussia Dortmund a goal to the good in the 38th minute. It is Borussia Dortmund 1, Atletico Madrid 0. Can he deliver the cross? He can! Brilliantly finished! Guerrero on as a substitute with a wonderful strike. It is Borussia Dortmund 2, Atletico Madrid 0. Opportunity for Hakimi to race forward here. There could be another for Borussia Dortmund. Puts it on a play. How about that for unselfishness for Jadon Sancho? And Borussia Dortmund have got a third here with 7 minutes remaining. Hakimi with another assist. He could have scored himself, but he just put it on a play for the new England international. And having been the assist king in the Bundesliga, he grabs a Champions League goal here to surely win the game for Borussia Dortmund. Here we go again, and Dortmund are in again, and they've got another! Guerrero! Borussia Dortmund lead Atletico Madrid by 4-0. And this is looking like the heaviest defeat for the Spaniard side since Chelsea put 4 past them back in October 2009.
Dan Roebuck joins us now. We heard the surprise in your voice then. I mean, Atletico simply don't lose 4-0. How good were Dortmund?
Dortmund were very efficient, and it's interesting hearing from Diego Godin, who's just been speaking to local television crews, saying the result is the result. I don't know if it's fair, but that's how it is. We were fine in the game until they scored their first, and then they were very efficient in front of goal. And that's the difference, because when you look at the chances created, Atleti 13 to Dortmund's 11 total shots, that is, on target for Dortmund 5 with 4 goals, only the 2 on target for Atleti. Of course, that doesn't count the 2 occasions that they struck the woodwork as well. But Dortmund very, very good on the break and used their substitutes very well also. Guerrero coming from off the bench to score twice. Jadon Sancho as well was a substitute to score late on the break. It was a well-crafted win from Lucien Favre. He can take a lot of credit as well, I reckon, here. You don't see Atleti fall apart like this, do you, at all? You don't see them defending so badly. And that's exactly what happened. Dortmund were just far too good, and it's been a very, very impressive win.
And Dan, that word efficient used by Diego Godin is probably quite an apt one. I mean, for Dortmund's season so far, they've had a few samey performances, but the results have been excellent. As you say, they use their bench very well, they take their chances. And really, this is the template of a team that tends to do well in the Champions League, a team that counter-attacks effectively.
There's no doubt about that, and that's one of the reasons why they're scoring so many goals, I think, this season. They've scored four or more in 6 games in all competitions so far this campaign. They're very good for the full 90 minutes. They get in front, they draw teams onto them, very, very classy and quick on the counter-attack, and they seem to have a very good blueprint here, and they've got the players to play that particular way as well. We talk about Dortmund, of course, as Champions League royalty in lots of ways, because they went so close to winning it a few years ago, and of course they did win it in the mid to late 90s. Could they win it again? Well, you couldn't rule it out. Are they right at the top in the elite bunch? Well, if we consider Atleti probably were, then I think Dortmund are in that conversation.
Yep, definitely. What a night at the BVB Stadium. Just seen some pictures of Lucien Favre when the third and fourth went in. He looked, frankly, as surprised as anybody. Diego Simeone with a rather rueful look as he left the pitch at the BVB Stadium. Elsewhere in that section, it finished Club Brugge 1, Monaco 1 in one of the early games. Thierry Henry's coaching debut in European competition. And it means Group A looks like this after 3 games. Dortmund with 9 points, Atletico with 6, and then Monaco and Brugge with 1. It means that Dortmund are pretty much there in terms of a race for the place in the last 16. On to Group D then. Galatasaray 0, Schalke 0, which was a tight old affair. Plenty of goals in Moscow, though, Andy Brassel. Lokomotiv against Porto.
Yeah, there were. And a tale of two penalties in the first half, with Manuel Fernandes having the chance to give Lokomotiv the lead, saved by Iker Casillas. How many vital Champions League saves has he made over the year? The opportunity for Porto taken by Musa Marega, and they didn't really look back from that point onwards. And the two Mexicans, the captain Hector Herrera and Jesus Corona, which was the goal of the game, Corona's, sealing the win for Porto. And they have looked the best team in the group so far.
Yeah, they're top of the tree, 7 points after three games. Schalke in second with 5, Galatasaray with 4, Poro Lokomotiv with 0 on match day 4, Tuesday the 6th of November. Porto against Lokomotiv in Portugal, and Schalke against Galatasaray in Gelsenkirchen. What an atmosphere that will be. We're just going to head briefly back to Group C now and hear from Jurgen Klopp, the victorious Liverpool manager.
Tonight was really good, and if we wouldn't have clicked in the past, we couldn't have played tonight like we did. So it was good, and could have been a very difficult game, and because of our performance, it was not an easy. It was only not as difficult as it could have been. So we did the right things in the right moment. That was good.
Jurgen Klopp there, he's a happy man. Now, Luciano Spalletti, Steve Wyeth, perhaps not so thrilled.
Well, Andy Brassel clearly has got a future in this game because he's read the thinking of Luciano Spalletti, who clearly is, as Andy Brassel was, less than impressed with the way his players went about their business tonight. He has said after the 2-0 defeat by Barcelona that I am sad, mostly because I wanted to play a totally different approach in the first half. We weren't brave enough to play the ball when we were in possession, and we allowed Barcelona to play as they preferred. And as Andy pointed out, you cannot go to Camp Nou and defend, and that's what Luciano Spalletti has gone up to say, you cannot come here and defend, try and score on the counter-attack. You need to be better with the ball if you want to achieve something in this stadium.
Far too much credit for Mr. Andy Brassel.
Only when it's due. I'll call him out when he's wrong.
He's absolutely right. Steve, player of the match for you at Camp Nou?
I'm going to go for Rafinha, simply because he had the burden of deputising for Lionel Messi tonight, and not only did he contribute an awful lot to the way that Barcelona dictated the possession, but he also scored the go-ahead goal, and that was the platform from where Barcelona went on to win the game.
Dan Roebuck, I mean, by the sounds of it, you could pick most of the Borussia Dortmund team, but if you had to pick out one, who would it be?
Well, I'm tempted to pick a substitute, but it never really sits right with me, that. So I'm going to suggest the player that managed to net a hat-trick of assists. I wondered if he was going to get one for the first goal because it was such a deflection. But Hakimi did lay it on for Witsel and then teed up both Guerrero and Sancho for their strikes. So I'm going to go for the young Moroccan international, just 19, on loan from Real for this season and next. His progress is going to be interesting, and he's my man of the match tonight.
Andy Brassel, player of the night from the other 6 games. Nice and easy question.
I think it's going to have to be Angel Di Maria for saving Paris from what would be not that far from UEFA Champions League elimination. Wonderful goal.
Yeah, it was a wonderful goal, wasn't it, from Angel Di Maria. Plenty more from him, I am sure, as the games go on. We are out of time here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live, though. We could have talked until the cows come out. It's been such a great night. Intriguing evening of group stage action we have been treated to. In Wednesday's featured matches, a dramatic affair in Eindhoven, despite dominating Spurs held to a point by the Dutch champions PSV. Barcelona beat Inter at the Nou Camp. Dortmund thrashed Atletico 4-0. Paris equalised late again against Napoli. Terrific goal from Di Maria. Liverpool comfortable winners over Sven Zvezda and wins 2 for Porto. And draws between Galatasaray and Schalke and Club Brugge and Monaco. On Tuesday, victories for Bayern, Juve, Man City, Ajax, Roma and Real Madrid. Do join us again on Tuesday the 6th and Wednesday the 7th of November for plenty more fascinating football. Remember, you can download the podcast on iTunes. But for now, from all of us here on Match Day Live, it's good night.
To settle it, and settle it, Jordi Alba has done. And with unerring composure, slotted a left-foot shot beyond Handanovic into the bottom corner of the net.
Here we go again, and Dortmund are in again, and they've got another! Guerrero! Borussia Dortmund lead Atletico Madrid by 4-0. De Jong flicks it on and scores! PSV are back in the game with 3 minutes of normal time left. It's 2-2.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.